Okay, so this morning we're starting a new series, and we've got the image behind. Now, I thought to call this series initially the Conversations in Our Mind, but I thought that might be just too much of a mouthful. So I just renamed it and I called it The Warfare in Your Mind. The Warfare in Your Mind. Or should I say the warfare in our minds? So what I'm going to be looking at is something I think is really important. And I believe that as we come to understand this whole phenomenon of warfare in our minds, it will make our lives easier to manage. We'll be able to deal with a lot of emotions that we have. We'll be able to make what I'll call better informed decisions. Bless you. Someone sneezed there. We'll be able to make better informed decisions as we know what's really going on behind the scenes in our minds. So that's why I thought, let us look at that, this series in terms of the mind. So starting off today, I'm going to be looking at three things. The first one is, why warfare and what is warfare? Why warfare? And what is warfare? The next one I'll be looking at is the first war was in heaven. It might surprise you to know that. The first war was in heaven, and we'll look at that. And lastly, we'll be looking at warfare as it happens in your mind and in my mind. Warfare as it happens in your mind and in my mind. So I'm going to start off by saying, what is warfare and why warfare? I got a dictionary definition on Google that defines warfare as such. It says, warfare refers to the activity, process, or methods of engaging in armed conflict between nations, groups, or military forces. It involves the use of specific weapons, strategies, and tactics, such as conventional, nuclear, guerrilla, cyber warfare, to weaken or defeat an opponent, often characterized by widespread violence, destruction, and mortality. That's the Google definition of warfare. I just want to highlight some points in this definition. It says it is between people, nations. So mark that word between. It says it involves the use of specific strategies. Mark that word, the use of. And the end goal, it says, is to weaken or defeat an enemy. So you have there, it's between people or nations. There's the use of strategies and devices and weapons. And the aim is to weaken, Google says, or to defeat an opponent. So that's what natural warfare is about. Now, why warfare? So that's the definition of warfare. So what's the purpose of warfare? Why would a country, for example, go to another nation to wage war against them? Is it just to, you know, they want to test their weapons and just, no. Before nations go to war, there are specific reasons. Just turn on the news now and it's like, man, this nation is attacking this nation. That nation is attacking this nation. There's war here, there's war there. So why warfare? Well, another Google dictionary definition. It says, warfare is designed to impose will, secure resources, or manage threats. So when people go to war, or nations go to war, it is to impose their will on that nation and to secure their resources. Simply that. So you have nations that will say, look, there's some nations that will be like, I'm this kind of nation, and we're going to go to that nation and impose our religion on them. We're going to make sure that everybody in that nation becomes converted to our religion, and we're going to do it violently to impose their will. In some other scenarios, it's to annex the resources of another nation. I remember a while ago, this was in the news, I think it was Iraq at that point in time, and there was a man who was ruling at that time. And he woke up one morning, I'm just paraphrasing, and he said, oh, we have a nation here who's next to us. They have a lot of oil, and I think that oil will serve us good. And they woke up and attacked that country and annexed the country, Kuwait. And everybody was like, hang on, what's going on here? So oftentimes, the purpose of warfare is to impose the will of a nation or an individual on another nation, or to grab their resources. So warfare has a purpose. It's not, people just don't go to war for the sake of it or because they just want to see how strong they are. No, it's calculated. So let's bear that in mind, that warfare is another person or one person trying to impose their will on the next person or to grab their resources and use it for their own purpose. That is warfare, generally speaking. And I said, that's the reason it says. So the next thing I want to look at is this. Warfare didn't start with you turning on the news and you realize that this nation has attacked this nation. Warfare didn't start in the 19th century. It didn't start when the First World War happened. It didn't start back in the day when there were tribal wars. No, the first war was in heaven. Believe it. The first war was in heaven. So we'll look at that in a minute, but bear in mind what I said warfare is about. Warfare is an individual or a nation trying to impose their will on another nation or another individual to annex their resources. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, the second point, the first warfare was in heaven. And it says in that portion of scripture, Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, it says in that portion of scripture, then war broke out in heaven. Can you beat that? In heaven, not in Kuwait. In heaven, can you beat that? It says, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. So the dragon here is referring to the devil. So in heaven, the devil was there. Before he became the devil, he was called Lucifer, son of the morning. The Bible describes him when God created him. God created Lucifer, who became the devil, with extra stuff. The Bible says that God just decided that, look, I want to make a being that is so magnificent. And God spent time on him. And it says his whole body was full of pipes, shining. When he sang, you would have 36 different harmonies, instruments playing, violin, harps, one person. He would sing, the whole of heaven would be filled with harmonies and everything. And he was one of the people, or one of the angels, that was in the presence of God, in the council of God. So he saw how God operated, he knew how God operated because he was close. Then one day the devil decided, Lucifer decided, look, if you look at that gem, Revelation 12, it says, Isaiah now says to, he now describes what happened to Lucifer. He says, I will ascend to the hill of the Lord. I will ascend. I will take over heaven. I will be like the Most High. I will do this. So Lucifer just thought, look, everything God can do, I can do. God is commanding all these angels. He's doing this. I can do that as well. In fact, I want to do that. He now decided in his mind, the Bible says in Isaiah, to make a move. And the move was that he wanted to take over heaven, dethrone God. Can you imagine that? And become the new commanding officer. So remember, I said the purpose of war is to impose one's will or to take over a particular territory, probably for their resources. So Lucifer had the intention of doing that in heaven, and war broke out. And there was another angel in heaven, Michael. Michael said, no, you're not going to impose your will here. You are not going to do that. Then the war started. So it's the same way a nation goes to another nation and they want to take over. They start bombing them, sending cruise missiles and all those things. And that nation responds and says, no, we're going to respond. No, we're not going to let you do this. And war now breaks out. So that was what happened in heaven. It says in that Revelation chapter 12, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. So the dragon, the devil, had his own army as well. Apparently, before they knew it, he had convinced a third of all the angels to follow him. I don't know what he promised them. It says, the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. It says, the great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So we see this scenario of warfare here, where the devil tries to take over in heaven and there's a war. Michael and his angels kick him out and they throw him out of heaven, unfortunately, to the earth. Unfortunately, with all his demon spirits. Unfortunately. So, we're looking at warfare here. We've said warfare is when a nation or someone tries to impose their will on another nation or another country and tries to just, impose their will. And we said, secondly, that the first war was in heaven. It wasn't even on earth here. So, looking at the third point here, of how it relates to you and I in our minds, and how it relates to you and I in our lives. So, how does warfare happen in our lives? Well, the first thing I want to say this morning is that there is a battle for your life. There is a battle for your life. There is a battle for the life of your children, your friends, me, everybody that is born. There is a battle for your life. There is a warfare against you. You might be like, oh, Pastor B, I didn't sign up for all this. I'm just going about my business. I mean, what's all this about? Just tell me something else. I'm not involved. I'm not looking for anybody's trouble. I'm not a troublemaker. I just want to live my life quietly. Apparently, that's not the way it works. Whether you want to live your life quietly or not, there are beings that do not want you to live your life quietly. So, the third thing is that there is a battle for the life of every individual that is born on this earth. Now, I've categorized this battle into two parts. And the person who is vying for your life, although the Bible says he's not strong enough, the person who is vying for every individual's life is the devil. That same devil that was trying to cause problems in heaven, that was thrown out with his angels, he's here on earth. And he's trying to... He's waging war against every single human being. And you need to be aware of how. You need to be aware. So I've categorized it into two main things that the devil and his demonic forces try to do. Very subtly. Two things. The first one is this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. It says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So the first purpose of the devil and his demonic spirits is to take every human being to hell. To take every human being to hell with them. And the Bible says what the devil does is that he blinds the minds of people. He blinds the minds of people. He makes people think this Christianity thing, this Jesus Christ thing, isn't it? I mean, what's all that about? Isn't that just a bit too much? Can't we just restrict this Christ thing to Christmas when we can all sing songs, have baby Jesus there, have a couple of mince pies and call it a day? What's all this thing about, you know, believing in Jesus and all those things? Is Jesus the only way? How about if someone picks another and all those things? Is all a ploy of the devil to take everybody to hell? Because anyone who doesn't believe and accept that Jesus paid for their sins and accepts that sacrifice, the Bible says that person is lost. That person is lost. So we must believe that Jesus came and died for us, took our sins away so that we might be forgiven and have access to eternal life. But one of the ploys of the devil is to ensure that people do not understand that message. As we've read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, that is the plan, the main plan of the devil. To keep people bound. Blind their minds. Remember, minds, mind here. Blinding the minds of people so that they don't accept Christ. So that's the main aim. Now, the second one, which is one I will focus on more this morning, just in opening all these, in opening this topic. So we said warfare. What is warfare? Someone trying to impose their will on another person or another nation to nation, wanting to take over their resources. We've also said that the first warfare was in heaven, and Satan was the one that started that warfare. But he was thrown out of heaven. He's now here on earth. And the third point that we're looking at is that he's vying for you and I. But he can never be strong enough, like the Bible says. So, I've said the first thing is that the devil is trying to get everybody to hell with him. I was talking to someone yesterday, and we were talking about the gospel. And as we're speaking, we looked, the question came around, hell, God, and all those things. And I pointed out to the person I was speaking with yesterday, we're looking at, I believe somewhere in Matthew 25. And I said that God did not create hell for human beings. He said God created hell for the devil and his demonic spirits. But the devil wants to take everybody with him. So God is not the one sending people to hell. Hell wasn't created for people, it was for the devil and his spirits, his demonic spirits. So we're going to this, the mind and the warfare. So I said that the devil and his angels, his spirits, his demonic spirits are vying for the minds of people to take over their minds so that they can impose their will on that individual and control them. How does it begin to happen? I'll look at a number of things. I'll look at one thing today. Then as we progress, we'll look at other things around how the devil does this. Now, the part I want to focus on is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 4. We're still in the third section, looking at how the fact that, you know, there's a warfare against every individual. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 4. It says, "For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." So this portion of scripture is saying something. It says that there is a warfare that is going on in your mind and in my mind, but it is not the kind of warfare that you see on the news. It's not with weapons. It's not with a gun. It's not with a knife. No. This is going on in your mind. In my mind, that is where the battlefield is for you and I. And it says that we do not wage war as the world does. It says the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world, but on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So, what this is saying to us is this. One of the things that the devil does in the life of every individual, and he uses all sorts of things, he uses everything around you. He uses popular culture. He uses social media, although social media is used for good as well. He uses everything that he can think of to build strongholds in the mind of the individual. But let's leave all those external things out of it for now and talk about how he tries to do it in your mind and in my mind. So what is a stronghold to start with? I said, the warfare in our mind is the devil trying to build strongholds in your mind and in my mind. That's what the warfare is. So that's why this scripture is saying that the war we find, the war we fight in our minds, is to stop and to demolish those strongholds from being built in our minds by the devil having conversations with us. So our battle is to ensure that the devil doesn't build strongholds in our minds. So I've said, what is a stronghold? Another dictionary definition. It says, a stronghold is a place that has been fortified. Another definition says, it is a place, is a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended and upheld. A place where a particular belief is upheld. I'll put it that way. A place where a particular belief is upheld. So the devil and his angels are trying to speak to your mind, have conversations with you to establish certain belief systems in your mind, certain opinions in your mind. Those opinions, those belief systems become strongholds, and it is job done for him. So, how does the devil go about trying to build strongholds in our minds? Very simple. By having conversations with us in our minds. That's it. By speaking to your mind. Now, the challenge is this, and we'll look at this as we go along. You're not aware, a lot of people are not aware that this thing is going on in their minds. Now, how does the devil do this in our minds? How does he have conversations in our minds with us, sometimes without us knowing? It's through thoughts. Through thoughts. So as you are walking about on a daily basis, as you wake up, thoughts are running through your mind all the time. All the time. Now, the thing is this. You might not realize that some of these thoughts that are going through your mind are not your thoughts. There are three beings that speak in your mind. There's you. You have thoughts that you generate in your mind. So, for example, you guys are all looking at me. If I said to you, tomorrow, I'm going to take you all to get a big ice cream pack at Cabot Circus. What's going through your mind? You're imagining that ice cream, maybe not. You guys are saying, no, no ice cream. There are no ice cream. Are you imagining that in your mind? What's going through your mind? Can you think about that ice cream? I went to Cabot Circus yesterday. Can you guys see Cabot Circus? If you don't know where Cabot Circus is, then that means you're not a Bristolian. And we need to take you on a tour. So you speak to yourself in thoughts. There's a voice in your mind. Your thoughts speak to you. There are three beings that speak in your mind. You speak. Like you've just thought about the ice cream I spoke about. God also speaks to your mind. And the devil also speaks to your mind. But often, you might think that all the thoughts that come to your mind are from you. But they're not all from you. There's a thought that is speaking to you that is trying to shape your life, trying to make you think of yourself in a particular way. God is trying to make you see yourself as he sees you. You are trying to talk to yourself as well. The devil is in that conversation as well. Three people on a round table. The challenge is this. You might not realize that these conversations are going on between three entities in your mind. You, God, and the devil. So as a child is born, from day one, God is trying to guide them to, okay, don't do this, don't do that. That's what you will be. The devil is also trying from day one, 24/7. There was a guy that I met a long time ago, maybe like 10 years ago, in Bristol. I think we had just come then. And this guy was a friend. He was going through a lot. And he was going through a lot. So then we were still living in London, West London. So we said, okay, why don't you come and spend, I think they actually kicked him out of his house as well. So he was looking for a place to stay. So we said, okay, why don't you spend the weekend with us in West London so that we'll just talk and all that. So he came and he stayed a couple of days with us. This guy was a pastor previously. So was a pastor at some church at some time, but that didn't work out. And as I was talking to him, we're sitting down we're just talking about life, generally speaking, was telling me about the things that he was going through, stuff like that. And he uttered a word to me as we were sitting down. He now said, Pastor B, my life is useless. I think I'm just going to kill myself. I'm talking to someone, and suddenly they say, unrelated. He has some challenges. He says, oh, Pastor B, my life is useless, and I'm going to kill myself. And you know what I told him? Straight. I looked into his eyes. I said, it's not you that has said that. Then he startled, and he said, hang on. Where did that come from? And he said, kill myself? Why would I want to do that? Got kids? Got a wife, although we're fighting at the moment, but that will be sorted. So he startled and he came out of it. So at that point, there were conversations going on in his mind, and the devil was saying to him, your life is useless. All these things that happen around you are happening around you. You can't be a proper Christian. Kill yourself. The challenge was that he thought that he was the one saying that to himself. But it wasn't him. Do you understand? And he jumped out of that thought. And I said, bro, you need to be aware. And he now said, wow. And I told him, there are thoughts going on in your mind. That one is not yours. Something else is speaking to you. And it was like the light bulb went on. Mind you, this guy was a pastor before. And the light bulb went on in his mind. How many people have we heard of, and I don't want to oversimplify this, that do certain things that are out of character for them. And they're like, did I really do that? Warfare. Now, why does warfare happen? Warfare is the devil is trying to do something to an individual. He's trying to take over their mind, take over their lives through those warfare conversations to destroy them or to make them self-sabotage themselves. If you can't take you as a Christian to hell because you've accepted Christ, he wants to self-sabotage you. He wants to ensure that you make decisions that will be destructive to you. That is the strategy. So the first thing is knowing, first of all, that the warfare that we fight in our minds or that's going on in our minds is the devil trying to create a stronghold. He's trying to create a belief system in you and I that will cause us to destroy our lives or cause us to make decisions that will be harmful to us or decisions that will take us away from the will of God or decisions that will make life difficult for us. So that he speaks those things to you and I. And for him, if he can accomplish that, it's job done. But the Bible says something. It says, we do not fight as the world fights. It says, we have divine power. On the contrary, it says, the warfare we use has divine power to demolish strongholds. And what is the word? What do we use to demolish the strongholds? What do we use as a guard and as a defense against the things that the devil tries to tell us? We'll look at that in detail. But it is simply the word of God. All these things I'm saying, right, they sound really simple. But I'm telling you, it is as simple as that. I'll give us an example, then we will close shortly and pray. The one I described now about this friend of mine, that was a bit extreme. Yeah, that was extreme. Not everybody that wants to kill themselves or has the thought that they want to kill themselves. Everyday conversations that you have, or maybe between husband and wife, that's even more common. That's even more common. Or maybe one's in a relationship. Take this scenario. Wife snaps at husband. But we know the wives in this church, they don't snap. Nah, they don't do that. Or should I say husband snaps at wives? Ah, the guys in this church, they don't. We don't snap. What do you mean by that? We don't snap. We're like, okay, let me take the first scenario. Wife snaps at husband. Maybe she's had a bad day. You know? She's had a bad day. She's stressed at work or something, and she responds in a way that is a bit snappy to the husband. Husband goes away and he sits down. He's a bit upset. And as he's upset, he sits down. Then guess what happens? A conversation begins in his mind with him, God, and the devil. He might not be aware. And the devil is saying, what? Can you imagine you? How can someone speak to you like that? This is the conversation in the mind. These are the thoughts. How can this person speak to you like that? Even at work, nobody even talks. The people at work are even nice. I mean, your wife speaking to you like that. She doesn't respect you. She's just... Let me remind you, you know she did that last week. She did that two years ago. Remember that thing she did when you were walking and she just spoke to you and it's repetitive. Are you going to stand for that? And you're now like, in your mind, that's true. Then you begin to boil, but it doesn't happen to the men in this church. You begin to boil. What? That's true. Then your emotions begin to rise up. Yeah, that's true. That's how she spoke to me last week. Yeah. Does she even really care about me? Conversations are going on already. Or if it's the woman, that guy, Guy doesn't even care. I mean, he saw how tired I was. So two conversations. He saw how tired I was, and he couldn't even help me to, you know, cook dinner. And he was like, I mean, I've been cooking dinner all these years. Can't he say that I'm tired? Is he trying to, I mean, can't he even be a bit considerate? The wife is having conversation with the devil. Can't he even see that? And that thought is like going on. And on the other bit, the wife is like, yeah, that's true. That guy, all he wants to do is watch football. Arsenal. He doesn't even, conversations are going on. Warfare is going on. And they don't know that it is warfare. Then God now comes in to the conversation. And he says, love your wife. Maybe she was tired. Love is kind. Love is patient. God now goes to the wife as well. You know, maybe he didn't really mean that. Even if he did, forgive. Warfare is going on. At that point, you need to decide if you're going to use the divine power of God to demolish that thinking process. You need to decide, am I going to listen to the devil in this circumstance and react based on what I'm thinking? Or am I going to listen to what God is telling me, even though it doesn't make sense to me, even though I'm annoyed? What am I going to do in this warfare that is going on? The choices we make at those points in time is what determines the outcome. So if I go and if I don't realize that warfare is going on in my mind and I react, go to my wife and I tell her, look, you are X, Y, and Z. I've had enough. You're always, the devil has won in that area. Warfare has overcome you. It has. But if you yield to God, even though you are annoyed, and you're like, all right, this is not a good situation, but I will love. I will choose love. I will choose forgiveness. That stronghold is broken. So if one continues to choose what the devil is suggesting, it becomes a pattern in the person's life, and the person self-sabotages. The person that is meant to be, to help your future, you self-sabotage, you erupt on them. Do you understand? The aim of that is to ensure that you are unhappy in that your marriage, or you destroy that marriage, or your relationships, or that the people that you should have. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't voice our opinions, we shouldn't voice when someone hurts us. Yeah, you can have that conversation with them, but to form an opinion that allows you not to choose what Jesus will have said or what Jesus wants you to do is losing that battle in your mind. And that's where it starts. So anytime you have a thought in your mind about someone that is close to you, ask yourself, who's speaking? Who's speaking here? I do that all the time. Now, I'm like, okay, I'm annoyed. You know, someone's like, man, I can't even imagine Pastor be annoyed. Yeah. Ask my wife. In a cool way, we do like British annoyance. You know what British annoyance is like? Calm annoyance, where you're just like, all right. You know, like the calm one, the one that is not overt, but it's like you're boiling, but you just give all these snide remarks like, oh yeah, I'm busy. No, that's the kind. But I will have to sit with myself and say, Pastor B, who's talking here? Who is talking here? And I remember there's just something that God does to me a lot. So I'll be annoyed sometimes, then he'll make me, not make me actually, he will now be like, okay, suggest to me to go and do something in that scenario that I really don't want to do. You know? Like, apologize to your wife. Tell her you love her, even though she's the one that annoyed you. Do something opposite. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. But I'm now like, you know, hang on. Who is going to win the war in my life this morning? And I just say, okay, I'll do it. And the result is always the best. I'm going to stop there this morning. The way you guys are looking at me this morning is like, what's Pastor B talking about? God will help us, I tell you. But the good thing is this, as we read in Revelations, we have the victory already, and the devil knows that. We just have to be conscious of the workings of it. Let us rise and pray this morning. You know, this thing about warfare in the mind is something that is so key. And I believe that the Bible says in Romans, it says, I believe Romans chapter 12, that we renew our minds by the word. Choosing the word of God, choosing what God wants us to do in every situation is so important, because that is how the life God has planned for you and I comes to fruition. Choosing the word of God, choosing to listen to what God's asking you to do in every situation is what helps us to win this warfare. But it's not easy. If you've been wronged, it's not easy. If you're not the one in the wrong, in quote, it's difficult. Like, why should I do this? I'm not the person who has done wrong here. Let them apologize. And God is saying, it doesn't matter whether they apologize or not. You have to choose love in this situation. This morning, I want us to pray and say, God, help me. Every time I'm having a dispute, or every time I'm trying to make a decision, every time there's a warfare of thoughts going on in my mind, help me to choose you. Immortal, invincible, God only wise. Even beyond what I'm able to explain this morning, I'm asking, help us to understand the workings of this warfare in our minds so that we will not self-sabotage, so that our lives will be the way you want it to be, that we will have fullness of life, fullness of joy in every area of our lives. And I pray, your word says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Father, every fear that might have gripped the hearts of your people in their minds, saying, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? I silence the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Every speaking of that spirit in our minds, I silence. You said that you've given us the spirit of power and of love. I speak power. I speak the love that you have released to our hearts and to our minds. This I ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.